Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
What up, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn, Internet, You're Scary.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
One of the most problematic holidays in our history, but at least it, you know, you get to get together with some family.
Yeah.
Eat some food. You know. What's the plots? I mean, obviously it's not Thanksgiving for us yet.
But, yeah.
What's the Thanksgiving plots?
Man, we're just gonna chill with the family. You know, family and some friends. I think we're gonna celebrate it the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Gonna chill. I really just wanna like just self isolate at the crib, not do anything. I'm counseling. Zooming with the homies
on
Friday, on Thursday. Yeah, man, just want to chill, bro. Looking forward to taking this weekend off. This will be a 4-day weekend for me. I typically don't get a whole lot of those, so.
That's dope. Yeah. Are you guys cooking or catering?
I think we're going to do like a Friendsgiving, so we're going to do like everybody bring a dish type thing. So, yeah, it's cool. It should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
That's dope. Yeah, we haven't cooked in a couple years. We just started catering it. So I wonder how it's going to work with
the family?
COVID. Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder how it's going to work with that. It's funny because like my parents are a little older. So since I was like going out of town and on set so much, they literally told me that I would have to FaceTime in and they would just put my food on the outside of the door and I would just like take a plate and then FaceTime in. Yeah. But it's all good. I got all the testing done and I'm good. So I was a little worried about that, but it should be
no, okay. Wait. They obviously don't follow you on Instagram then.
Who?
Your parents.
No, they do. They watch everything.
Because they would see that you still be having people over the house though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why they said you're not coming for Thanksgiving. But you know, I made sure to get. I got a test. I'm gonna get another one by that time too.
Okay, so
just to make sure.
I'm just saying, because if they follow, it, like, this nigga think we dumb. We see you. You kicking it over there, ladies. But you know, playing the arcade game, all of that. You having a great time, huh, Patrick?
So wait, what? Just to get this off of me, what song are we? What songs are we doing? Is there a Thanksgiving genre? We don't have the Scary Squad live with us.
Yeah, it's I don't know if there's a Thanksgiving genre. I don't know if we could really.
What kind of music is played? Is there like, do you guys do holiday music or is it just music?
No, we just play chill like neo soul stuff on Thanksgiving. You know, stuff that just get people to kind of sing along to. But it's not too hype because you don't want people doing the most. Just want them having a good time. Everybody just mellowed out. You know what I'm saying? Thanksgiving.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do a neo soul Thanksgiving song.
Okay.
Since that's what's happening.
It's very specific and
in the Moore family.
Yeah. That's how we live life. Okay.
What do you want to do?
I'm trying to think of a good song to just kind of rip off of.
Just rip off.
Because like you can't really just go into a hot with that.
Badu Common.
Doom, doom, doom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Make sure you cut that turkey up. Make sure you get that mac and cheese nice and wet. Stir it ever so slowly. But don't be too weird because your family's there. Hey. Gravy. Damn internet, you so damn scary like my lady. Sit down with the fam. boom, have a little boom, bit of turkey boom, and ham. Boom, boom, and if your girl is boom, there, make sure boom, you getting them yams. Boom, yeah. Boom, what's the dressing? Boom, 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 why you stressing? Boom, hey. Boom, mashed boom, potatoes. Boom, 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 save it for later. Boom, hey. Boom, my aunt boom, getting drunk. Boom, boom, she over there boom, getting crunk. Boom, now everybody's arguing, damn internet, you scary, scary, scary. Damn internet, you scary, scary, scary. All the family, all the family's in here. Boom, boom. And now the internet just went out. I don't know where it was going. It got a little gospel-y. I started singing like a old woman. But it was rhyming.
I was
so.
Rocking like this. Okay, sugar. You doing? But you're showing your little skin. But you're rapping and tapping and stuff.
That's something I stole from Jill Scott, I guess. In another life.
Oh my God!
Well, our show today is just about as random as that. We we have a couple of stories for you. It's story time. Just to make you guys feel better about your Thanksgivings, no matter if it's going well or if it's a disaster. We got a couple of disaster funny stories for you.
And some just unbelievable stuff that you just would not believe at all. Just.
We have a story that's so ridiculous, it has nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
Nothing at all.
But we have to read it to you.
Listen, when I get to this, it's... Before we jump into that, because it's so extreme, we have to just embrace, you know, the... So what's your favorite meal? What's your favorite meal during the holidays? Like, what do you...
I'm... transitioning away from ham. I used to have ham every single holiday, and I can't. I'm not gonna do it this year.
Yeah,
no more honey baked. I'm pretty basic. I like the turkey greens dressing, mm-hmm. as long as I have that with Hawaiian king rolls.
Yeah,
so I can have Thanksgiving sandwiches after. I'm always thinking about the sandwiches after.
The next day, it'd be clutch with the food, mm-hmm. man. When they had time to kind of sit in them juices and all.
The leftover sandwiches are more exciting because the plate, you know what the plate's going to be.
Yeah,
you know?
The plate's going to be, you're going to overeat. You know, you're going to feel like shit afterwards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to chilling with the family and the friends. Mm-hmm. And just so we're clear, we celebrate Indigenous Day, everybody. I mean, Thanksgiving is the lamest terms of it, but we are trying to be a more productive and proactive society. We're trying to be more sensitive and more aware of what really happened with history. So because of that, Indigenous Day is what we celebrate. So if we slip and say Thanksgiving, it's just a force of habit.
I can't believe grown teachers were telling us about this dinner that happened with the Native Americans. Grown teachers. I feel some type of way. They had me dressed up as a pilgrim and do a little play.
It's funny that you mentioned teachers, and we're gonna get into that very shortly. Really quickly, my favorite meal during Indigenous Day is probably the mac and cheese.
Yeah,
and ribs.
Huh?
And ribs.
You guys have Thanksgiving ribs every year?
Yeah. Every year. If I don't barbecue them, we get them. Because I think Boston Market still serves them too.
Is this a thing? Do you guys know anybody else who does this?
Well, here's the thing. If Boston Market is selling it, that means other people are buying it. So it's not just me. I'm not buying up the whole bulk of ribs from Boston Market. So it has.
I've never seen ribs on a Thanksgiving table ever. Wow.
Yeah, people in the South, like Texas, they have barbecue year round, bro. Yeah.
Is the turkey barbecued?
No. The turkey is good regular, but you could get the turkey deep fried if you want.
I'd be down for barbecue turkey, actually. I don't think I've ever had turkey barbecued. Have you?
Yeah, I've definitely never had it. I didn't even know how you would do it. Like,
does turkey go with barbecue sauce?
Anything goes with barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Anything. You understand me? I will put barbecue sauce on any piece of meat.
Do turkeys have ribs?
Everything has a, I mean, yeah, they have a rib cage.
No, but I mean, have you ever had turkey ribs?
No, 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 no. That, it's not enough meat around that. You got to have enough meat around that to really get that. That's why it's on the beef and pork ribs like that.
Yeah, I guess turkey ribs are actually a shoulder cut of turkey meat. Yeah, I've just heard about that. Never really seen turkey meat. I mean, turkey ribs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot of food that everybody looks forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to encourage people to do is try something different. If you're doing a Friendsgiving, invite people who are going to bring different food. Invite people who are maybe going to bring something that you never had before,
right,
or maybe you never had it prepared that way. Mm-hmm. You know, expand your palate. And that's what our first sponsor is all about. Shout out to Baksu. They sent an amazing, amazing snack box to my house. And I was able to try out so many new snacks. And I've been to Japan before, and I've never tried any of these. I had this little red bean donut type thing. Did you have that one?
The two ones, yeah. Oh, I had all of them. All
right, then the little spicy sticks, and then there was the... I can't even remember everything because I couldn't pronounce a lot of it because it was literally in Japanese, but it was so good.
I love the Baksu box. We had, I believe our theme was the seasons.
Yes.
And because of that, they gave us some snacks that were only available at certain, in certain parts of Japan only. Like my favorite was, there was a cookie that had, it had like an apple in it, but those apples were native to Japan. Like a completely, and the cookie was like super soft. There was like these wasabi crackers that I love.
Yes.
So, so good. I actually ended up doing an unboxing on my YouTube channel if you want to check that out, because I was so into those snacks. But yeah, my top favorites was definitely the apple cookie, those like wasabi packets, and then I believe there was like this seaweed one, like these seaweed crunches ones.
Yeah, really good. I know exactly what you're talking about. So I told my family I was gonna check it out, and that, you know, they could go through and pick out a couple things that they like. They went through the entire box.
Oh, did they eat all of it?
They saved me one of everything. But they ate the entire box.
Because they're
creeps.
You can't just go outside your house and get that stuff, too. That came from Japan.
Exactly. Traveling is the best way to experience Japan. Baksu is the second best way. Mm-hmm. Baksu is authentic Japanese monthly snacks box delivered to your door.
Okay.
They partner with 100-year-old family snack makers to deliver fresh Japan-exclusive snacks to your door. Every box you purchase supports these small family-run businesses, and it helps keep their traditions alive. Each month, experience a different side of Japan, from flavors, pairings, and festivals to prefectures of holidays, and they carefully curate the most authentic snacks and teas. That was another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely had teas in the box as well.
Oh, I didn't try the tea yet.
Oh, yeah, we got the tea on deck, my boy. And teas to experience a taste of real Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, you typically get between 20 and 25 premium sweets, treats, and teas curated from around the world. They usually have a fun cultural theme every month.
Mm-hmm.
You get a 16-page cultural guide magazine that details each product's origin, the flavors, and the common allergies.
That was crazy interesting because that literally showed you what part of Japan each snack came from, literally the company that made it and how long they've been doing it. And the thing that we really enjoyed was like the breakdown of like what flavor you're about to get with this, you know, like just in case, what allergies or what like things are in there.
Like, I like
they
to know
really
what I'm trying.
Broke it down.
A little bit. And Clue's member only offers that range from discounts on Baksu's online marketplace to access a Japanese language learning app. Baksu is a real community. And your box ships out directly from Japan. And you get authentic Japanese snacks today. All you have to do is go to Baksu.com. That is BOKKSU.com and experience the taste of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign up for their mailing list, you'll get $5 off too. Again, BOKKSU.com.
Baksu.com.
BOKKSU.com. And check them out today.
Baksu.
There it is.
I'm actually excited for my December box because I went through that box so fast, and then I was just like, all right, well,
they literally did it like
back to
day.
American snacks.
Yo, so guys, listen, typically we tell you about a story, and we give you the highlights of it. Mm-hmm. This story is so crazy. I just have to read it.
Just
guys.
Hear the whole thing.
You just have to hear the whole thing because it's literally like, it's almost like Abducted in Plain Sight. How you watch it and you was like, what? No.
Yes.
No. Low and key. Then what? No.
It
no way.
Keeps getting weirder and yes. wilder.
Okay, so here we go, guys. The title of this article is a BBC News article. It's called "I Was a Teacher for 17 Years." But I couldn't read or write. I'm gonna let you sit with that for
process
a second.
Process that. I didn't know it was 17. I thought it was 7.
I was a teacher for 17 years.
I thought it was 7.
But I couldn't read or write. Okay. John Corcoran grew up in New Mexico in the U.S. during the 1940s and 50s.
He's a white guy. Don't do us like that.
One of the 6 siblings. One of 6 siblings. He graduated from high school, went to university, and became a teacher in the 1960s. He held a job for 17 years. But as he explains here, he hid an extraordinary secret. Gargantuan.
It's pretty extraordinary.
Astronomical. When I was a child, I was told by my parents that I was a winner. And for the first 6 years of my life, I believed what my parents told me. Off to a great start. Oof. I was late in talking. But I went off to school with high hopes of learning to read like my sisters. And for the first year, things were fine because there weren't many demands of us other than standing in right line, sitting down, keeping our mouth shut, and going to the bathroom on time. And then in 2nd grade, we were supposed to learn to read. But for me, it was like opening a Chinese newspaper and looking at it. I didn't understand what those lines were. And as a child of 6, 7, 8 years old, I didn't know how to articulate the problem. I remember praying at night saying, Lord, please let me know how to read tomorrow when I get up. And sometimes I would get up, even in the middle of the night, turn on the light, and look at a book to see if I had got a miracle. But I didn't get that miracle. You're very right. That is not how that
no one.
Out.
Okay.
At school, I ended up in the dumb row with a bunch of other kids who were having a hard time learning to read. I didn't know how I got there. I didn't know how to get out. And I certainly didn't know what questions to ask. The teacher didn't call it the dumb row. There wasn't any cruelty or anything, but the kids called it the dumb row. And when you're in the dumb row, you start to think that you're dumb. At teacher conferences, my teacher told my parents, he's a smart boy, he'll get it. And then he moved me on to the 3rd grade. He's a smart boy, he'll get it. And then he moved me on to the 4th grade. He's a smart boy. He'll get it. Then they moved me on to the 5th grade.
That's but just lazy teachers. They weren't trying to deal with that.
That is exactly what the No Child Left Behind is.
He was left behind.
That's exactly what's happening.
Like
they
the
still
next
have
guy
that.
Teacher.
They still have that to this day. By the time I got to 5th grade, I had basically given up on myself in terms of reading. I got up every day. I got dressed. I went to school, and I was going to war. I hated the classroom. It was a hostile environment, and I had to find a way to survive. By the 7th grade, I was sitting in the principal's office almost every day. I was in fights. I was defiant. I was a clown. I was a disruptor. I got expelled from school. But that behavior wasn't who I felt inside. It wasn't who I wanted to be. I wanted to be someone else. I had a desire to succeed. I wanted to be a good student, but I just couldn't do it. By the time I got to the 8th grade, I got tired of embarrassing myself and my family. I decided I was going to behave myself now. If you behave in high school, you can find a way through the system. So I was going to be a teacher's pet and do everything necessary to pass that system.
Except?
Read.
Okay.
I wanted to be an athlete. I have athletic skills. I had math skills. I could count money and make change before I even went to school. And I learned my timetables. I had social skills, too. I ran around with college kids. I dated the valedictorian, the student with the highest grades who gives a speech at the graduation ceremony. We know what a valedictorian is, John.
Yeah,
okay.
We're reading this.
We're obviously reading this article. We probably had encounters with a valedictorian, but thank you, just in case somebody else didn't. I was homecoming king. I had people, mostly girls, do my homework for me. I could write my name, and there were some words that I could remember, but I couldn't write a sentence. I was in high school and reading at the 2nd or 3rd grade level, and I never told anybody that I couldn't read. When I was taking a test, I would look at someone else's paper or I'd pass my paper over to someone else and they'd answer the questions for me. It was fairly easy, amateur cheating. But when I went off to college on a full athletic scholarship, it was different. I thought, oh my gosh, this is way over my head. How am I going to be able to get through this? I belonged to a social fraternity who had copies of old exam papers. Wow. That was one way to cheat. I tried to take classes with partners who sometimes helped me through. There were professors who used the same test year after year, but I also had to resort to more creative and desperate things. That's a little forthcoming right there. In one exam, the professor put four questions on the board. I was sitting in the back of the room near the window behind the older students. I had my blue book and I painstakingly copied the four questions off the board. I didn't know what those questions said. I had arranged for a friend of mine to be outside the window. He was probably the smartest kid in school, but he was also shy. He'd asked me to fix him up with a girl by the name of Mary, who he wanted to go to the spring formal dance with. I passed my blue book out of the window to him, and he answered the questions for me. I had another blue exam book underneath my shirt, and I took it out and pretended to write. He was pretending he was writing in the book while his homie was answering the questions outside the window. I was praying that my friend was going to be able to get my book back to me and that he was going to get the answers right. I was so desperate. I needed to pass courses. I was at risk.
Check in with the audience. I'm sure you've thought of it a couple times. This is by in any means not over yet. I'm sure you thought this. What would be easier than maybe everything that he's doing?
I have a thought. He could possibly tell somebody that he couldn't read.
And maybe study, right?
Possibly.
All right. Keep going.
Okay. There was another exam that I couldn't figure out how I was going to pass. One night, I went by the professor's office around midnight. He wasn't there. I opened the window with a knife, and I went in like a cat burglar. I had crossed the line now. I wasn't just a student that was cheating. I was a criminal. I went inside. I looked around for the exam. It had to be in his office, but I couldn't find it. There was a file cabinet that was locked. It had to be in the file cabinet. I did the same thing two or three nights in a row looking for the exam, but I still couldn't find it. So one night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I brought three friends with me, and we went into the office. We carried out a four-drawer file cabinet, put it in a vehicle, took it off campus to a college apartment. I had arranged for a locksmith to come. I put on my suit and tie, and I pretended to be a young businessman who was leaving for Los Angeles the next day, and the locksmith was saving my job by opening it. He opened it, he gave me a key, and sure enough, to my great relief, there were more than 40 copies of the exam, a multiple choice paper, and in the top drawer of the cabinet, I took one copy back to my dormitory where a smart classmate made a cheat sheet with all the correct answers.
That was a heist.
It was a heist.
And he involved other people.
They're accomplices. We carried the file cabinet back to at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was walking up to my room and thinking, Mission Impossible accomplished. And I was feeling pretty good that I was so clever. But then I walked up the stairs, lay down on my bed, and I started weeping like a baby. Why didn't I ask for help? Because I didn't believe that there was anybody out there who could teach me to read. This was my secret, and I guarded that secret. My teachers and my parents told me that people with college degrees get better jobs. They have better lives. So that's what I believe. My motivation was just to get that piece of paper, maybe by osmosis, maybe by prayer, maybe by a miracle. I would one day learn to read. So I graduated from college, and when I graduated, there was a teacher shortage, and I was offered a job. It was the most illogical thing you could imagine. I got out of the lion's cage, and then I got back in to talk the lion again. Fail! You skated through school, high school, and college. You did a B&E. You cheated. You're a criminal, and you say, you know what? I didn't risk enough.
This nigga is the Danny Ocean of ignorance. This nigga literally put together a Ocean's 11 to not only steal the answers. He involved his friends. They broke in, took the answers. He got a locksmith to open it. And he had the nerve to say successful mission. But guess what? At the end of all of that, you still cannot read, sir. You did all that to pass one test instead of sitting down and with a tutor. Now, here's the thing. The system failed him.
Yes.
That was not his fault, okay? So we are not making fun of illiteracy. However, it is your responsibility to get your shit together. And then it really takes a turn when you decide to get into the field of teaching others. Keep going. Sorry.
Okay. Here we go. Why did I go into teaching? Looking back at it, it was crazy that I would do that. But I had been through high school and college without getting caught. So I thought being a teacher seemed like a good place to hide. Nobody suspects a teacher of not knowing how to read. That's very true. You just wouldn't expect that of your doctor. You wouldn't expect it of a dentist. You'd be like, oh, yeah, he went to medical school.
You're not even looking for the signs.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I taught a lot of different things. I was an athletics coach. I taught social studies. I taught typing. I could copy type at 65 words per minute, but I didn't know what I was typing.
He taught a typing class.
I never wrote on a blackboard, and there was no printed word in my classroom. We watched a lot of films, and we had a lot of discussions.
He brought in those TVs with the straps on them every day that the substitute that don't care. This is what happens when you have them teachers that don't care. How are you going to teach anybody else? Keep going.
You know what's crazy? It's like no one thought that something smelled fishy. Like,
just do the ad. Let's get back to this story. This guy should have shaved his pubes.
Okay.
You know what this teacher should have done? He should have shaved his pubes. And now he can, thanks to Manscaped. I really just want to get that. Winter is coming, you guys. Brace yourselves. We miss Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones fans wrote this. basically, you need to get your situation down there together so you're not looking like a behemoth. And now you can with the new Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. It's waterproof with advanced skin-safe technology to reduce nicks and cuts. It even has a light to help you with your close shave down there in case you want to shave your balls in the dark.
And not only that, they also have the Weed Whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, which can help you whack those nasty weeds in those delicate holes. All right, this product has proprietary skin-safe technology to help prevent nicks, snags, and tugs. They also have the performance package. This also includes the prop preserver. This is like deodorant for your balls. Okay. I absolutely love the preserver. They also have the crop reviver, which is like a toner for your balls. Just give them a little pep in your step when you're walking down the street. and maybe you're on the other side of the wall. You don't know when you're going to take a shower. You might be doing a lot of ripping and running all through the city, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even worry about that. They have the crop mop. Okay, these are ball wipes. All right, these work fantastic. I can tell you I'm a big fan of the ball wipes.
Just
a quick, like, go to the bathroom. Because, like, listen, sometimes we be filming, running all day. You still want to be fresh, all right? So if you have smelly feet, the Manscaped can help you with that. They have the foot duster.
Oh,
it's
nice.
A little spray. You put that on your feet. The let deodorant. It air. Then you put your sock on. Always let it air. All right, it is made to fight odors when the feet are the dirtiest, okay? Want to smell good everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can get the Refined Cologne by Manscaped.
Let's go.
A clean and fresh scent designed for the refined gentleman. And on top of everything that they already thrown in, they have this shed travel bag you can carry all your goods in.
I like that.
And they also come with the anti-chafing boxer briefs on. I think I got the boxes on right now.
Oh, we believe you.
This wasn't even planned.
We believe you.
Is that it?
So now you can get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code DIYS at manscaped.com. Yes, and during the winter, you may be spending some time inside with your balls, so you might as well make them beautiful. I read that.
So again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code DIYS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code DIYS and be sure to join the Manscaped movement. These products are no joke.
That was a callback to the Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah. I got it.
It's no joke.
All right. Going back.
To the teach.
Sorry, guys. We still have to do that, okay? Okay. I remember how fearful I was. I couldn't even take roll. I had to ask the students to pronounce their names so I could hear their names. And I always had two or three students who I identified early, the ones who could read and write the best in the classroom, to help me. They were my teaching aides.
He could not do roll.
They didn't suspect at all. You don't suspect the teacher. And you know what? He's absolutely right. I remember being in class and thinking, oh, I helped this teacher out. You know, we're cool, whatever, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
You feel special when a teacher asks you to help.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you know you're going to get favor. You're going to get grace with that teacher. Mm-hmm. They'll give you the hall pass when you need. They'll allow you to come.
He was really early. Asking for help.
Nobody would ever suspect at this. And look at the picture. Look at this. Come on.
You wouldn't suspect
him. He just looks like he got out of the army.
He's a white man.
He's a white man that, you know. Racist, huh? Okay, cool.
I'm just saying, you would think that.
One of my biggest fears was a faculty meeting. We had them once a week, and the teachers would brainstorm, and the principal would call on someone to get those ideas on the board. I lived in fear that he would call on me. Every week I was terrified, but I had a backup plan. If he called on me, I was gonna get out of my chair, take two steps, grab my chest, drop to the floor, and hope they called 911. Wow. Whatever it took not to get caught, I never got
a heart attack. So if he did that, you can't do it again.
You can't run that back.
It's like every time I ask him, he gets a heart attack.
Oh, man, his anxiety is really kicking his
17
ass.
17 years, they never called on him?
I
blame the school, too. Overall, the school is trash because they hired him and didn't catch him.
I understand getting to a point where you feel like you're so deep in over your head, you just got to ride it out. But this seems more than extreme. You literally, well, I can't say that. I was going to say you literally cannot function without being able to read. But he's proof that you can't.
But it seems like his life was incredibly stressful.
And oh, my God. Can you imagine the anxiousness he woke up with every day?
And he was already a teacher. Like, teachers have very stressful jobs when they know their shit. But it's like he let 17 years of kids get bullshit education.
Jumping right back in. Sometimes I felt like a good teacher because I worked hard at it and I really cared about what I was doing. Nigga, how?
He was just offered the job. He had no teacher dreams.
But then he says, but I wasn't. It was wrong. I didn't belong in the classroom. I was trespassing. I wasn't supposed to be there, and sometimes what I was doing made me physically sick, but I was trapped. I couldn't tell anybody. I got married while I was a teacher. Getting married is a sacrament. It's a commitment to be truthful with another person. And this was the first time I thought, okay, I'm going to trust this person. I'm going to tell her.
How'd he read his vows? It was a blank piece of paper. He was freestyling. He just crumpled it. He did that thing where he was like, no, I'm gonna just
say what's on my heart.
This is a receipt for Burger King. There's colors on it.
Yo. Okay. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to trust this person. I'm going to tell her. I practice in front of the mirror. Kathy, I can't read.
That's all.
Kathy, I can't read. But she didn't really. I'm sorry. I almost jumped over a sentence. And one evening we were sitting on the couch and I said, Kathy, I can't read. But she didn't really understand what I was saying. She thought I was saying that I didn't read much.
Because
his
plan was trash.
Love is blind and deaf. So we got married and we had a child. And years later, it came home to her. I was reading to our 3-year-old daughter. We read to her routinely. But I wasn't really reading. I was making up stories. Stories that I knew, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I just added drama to them. Fam, you're rewriting the classics? He's out here rewriting the classics.
Probably ruining them. Janice in Wonderland. It's like, who is it's Alice in Wonderland. Oh, yeah, that.
That's what I meant. But this new book, Rumpelstiltskin, and my daughter said, you're not reading it like mama. My wife heard me trying to read from a child's book, and that was the first time that it dawned on her. I had been asking her to do all this writing for me, helping me write things for school, and then she finally realized how deep and severe this was.
Damn.
But nothing was said. There was no confrontation. She just carried on helping me get by. She's an enabler.
Yeah, isn't there a certain level of betrayal in that, or no? Is this a white lie?
I feel like she just, at this point, they got a kid together. They've been married for X amount of years. She's like, what can we do?
That's a dark realization. She probably said, oh, you.
You really out here not being able to read.
When you said, oh.
Y'all see what we're saying about like how this is literally like abducted in plain sight? How she's just, wait, what?
Wow.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Moving on. It didn't relieve anything because in my gut, I felt dumb and I felt like a fake. I was deceitful. I was teaching my students to be seekers of truth and I was the biggest liar in the room. The relief only came when I finally learned how to read. I taught high school from 1961 to 1978. 8 years after I quit my teaching job, something finally changed. I was 47, going on 48, when I saw Barbara Bush, then Second Lady of the U.S., talking about adult literacy on TV. It was her special cause. I'd never heard anybody talking about adult literacy before. I thought I was the only person in the world that was in this situation. Now that I can attest to. I know a lot of people who are going through things and think that they're the only person, whether mm-hmm. it be depression, whether it be abuse, whether it be a eating problem or eating disorder or adult literacy. But I will say that nowadays, because of technology and the way that we are able to connect with people and search anything on the internet, that things are a lot easier to be sought out. And also, you have a lot more options to avenues of help when it comes to certain things. I was at a desperate spot in my life. I wanted to tell somebody and I wanted to get help. And one day at the grocery store, I was standing in line and there were two women in front of me and they were talking about their adult brother who was going to the library. He was learning to read and they were just filled with joy, full of joy, and I couldn't believe it. So one Friday afternoon in my pinstripe suit, I walked into the library and asked to see the director of the literacy program. And I sat down with her and I told her I couldn't read.
He's still embarrassed about it because he still had to add that pinstripe suit.
Yeah, absolutely. Now maybe the devil's in the details. Don't really know how that affects it. That was the second person in my adult life that I had ever told. Maybe that's why he said it, because he remembered everything. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. The second person in his life he ever told this to, he remembers every detail about it. I had a volunteer tutor. She was 65 years old. She wasn't a teacher. She was just somebody who loved to read and didn't think anybody should go through life without knowing how to. One of the things that she taught me, one of the things she had me do in the early stages was try to write, because all of these thoughts in my mind and I had never written a sentence. The first thing I wrote was a poem about my feelings. One of the things about poetry is that you don't have to know what a complete sentence is. And if you don't, and you don't have to write incomplete sentences. That's a very, very true thing. Like, and I think that's a great way to help people along the way. Poetry. Why? This is like you, because in poems, you don't have to have a complete sentence.
Why not? Oh, like haikus and stuff.
Yeah, like haikus and stuff.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, so you don't have to write in complete sentences.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
so. That is a great way of thinking of this. Because the whole time I'm reading this, I'm thinking about how I would have fared as a teacher. I taught seventh grade science for 3 years. I'm like, how would I have done that if I couldn't read?
Right.
So I'm thinking about this the entire time. She got me to about sixth grade level reading. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. But it took me about 7 years to feel like I was a literate person. I cried, and I started learning to read. There was a lot of pain and a lot of frustration, but it filled a big hole in my soul. Adults who can't read are suspended in their childhoods emotionally, psychologically, academically, spiritually. We haven't grown up yet. Listen, he was 48 before he learned how to begin to read. It took him 7 years after 48. He's 55 before he learned to read. I was encouraged to tell my story by my tutor to motivate others and promote literacy, but I said, no way. I lived in this community for 17 years. My children are here. My wife is here. She's a professional. My parents are here. I'm not going to tell this story. Sir, you taught school for 17 years. People need to know, because they might need to go get tested. They might be in jobs that they're not qualified for, sir. What are you? Oh, my God. All right.
But eventually I decided I would. It was embarrassing secret. It was an embarrassing secret, and it was a shame-based secret. So it was a big decision. It wasn't easy, but once I made up my mind I was going to tell my story, I told it all across America. I spoke to anybody that would listen. I guarded this secret for decades, and then I blasted it to the world. I was on Larry King. I was on an ABC News magazine show, 2020, and I was on Oprah. It was uncomfortable for people to hear the story of the teacher who couldn't read, but some people said it was impossible and that I was making the whole story up. But I want people to know there is hope. There is a solution. We are not dumb. We can learn to read. It's never too late. Unfortunately, we are still pushing children and teens through school without teaching them basic reading and writing skills. But we can break this cycle of failure.
Here he goes.
If instead of blaming teachers, we make sure that they are properly trained. For 48 years, I was in the dark. But I finally got the monkey off my back. I finally buried the ghost of my past.
This guy is an asshole. Probably one of the biggest assholes I've read about in a long time. This story is not inspirational. So the fact that he tried to wrap it into an inspirational story, this would have been a very inspirational story if he wasn't a teacher. If he just was failed in school and then did all these cool things to get past school and then he got a job and just tried to make ends meet and just couldn't get it and then eventually he faced his fears and learned to read. That's an inspirational story. But putting off the actual hard work of learning it, like a lot of us did, and I know that we all come from like different situations and stuff, but the fact of the matter is that he put that off and then also opted into going into one of the most important jobs that our society has. Teachers are unsung heroes. They're leaders.
Absolutely.
So a good teacher and a bad teacher is the difference between a kid, you know, his mental development. So the fact that you were in a classroom for 17 years and then you decide to pat your back afterwards, like, hey, I did it. Let me tell my story and get more attention. Asshole.
I agree. And I just want people to understand something. Like, there's two ways you can look at the story. Three. One, you could just read it and it just be entertaining. Like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that. Two, you could joke about it, you know, make jokes like, that nigga ain't late. But I feel like it's not appropriate right here, right? Three, you can look at this for what it really is. This was a white man who breezed through the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I know y'all are like, oh, it's always about race. Not always.
Kinda.
But this time, absolutely. Because there's no way possible a black man or a black woman would have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for 17 years.
You have to overprove shit.
17 years. And it is very unfortunate that he didn't feel comfortable. It's very unfortunate that no one in his family noticed. It's very unfortunate that these teachers passed him along. It's very unfortunate that not only his friends in college and lovers in college and wife in life enabled him with this type of behavior, encouraged it by not checking it, but he was a teacher. He taught students. He prepared them after the matriculation from high school to college. This was the man that they met. He said it himself. He's encouraging them to be seekers of truth, and he's lying.
That's crazy.
Not just to them, to the faculty. These are his teammates. You're lying to your teammates. You're lying to your principal. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to your family.
He taught typing class. How do you do that?
Bro, it is.
Wow.
It's devastating.
There's
it's
no
mind-boggling.
Way. There's no way a kid had like a crazy experience in his class, like educationally. Like, man, that teacher really got me.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no way. And that was a spot that could have been filled by somebody, a teacher who was on top of their shit and could have changed a few lives. His story was all about him. You know what I mean? Like every turn of the story was about how he was doing it. Never addressed, like, even without reading, I was able to get through to these kids or blah, 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 blah. It was all about him not getting caught. And then at the end, he was just like, I didn't get caught. We need to change this cycle, break the cycle, change the system. Adult literacy isn't a joke. And it's like, that was like not the main meat of the story. You being a teacher and being illiterate was the main draw, I would say.
17 years, guys.
I also know he did not teach any black classes. Because if he had a class clown, like, oh, I know several people that I went to high school with. If can you imagine being the butting heads with a kid and then that kid finding out you can't read?
Oh my God. It would happen something like this. Jerome, come write your name on the board. You write my name on a board, suck ass nigga.
All right, that's it for today, guys. You guys can I think that's the bell. The bell don't dismiss you, I do.
We only been here for 5 minutes. The bell don't dismiss you.
He run the heart attack back. Somebody call.
Falls down, still clutching and looking up with one eye. Are y'all still here? Y'all still here?
Bro, he couldn't do roll call. That is it. That you have to do that every day.
Every day. That means that he had a student who was grading all his work. Mm-hmm. And this is the 60s and the 70s. So they're grading all his work. They're inputting all of his grades. He recognizes the numbers. He said he was good at math, but he has to like just match the name up with the score that the person put on the test for him, and then put that in a grade book. And then when it comes down to like report course, like how are you even issuing these grades? What do you put?
No real grades. Nobody got an actual genuine grade.
You
got
to come to him so he can look up your grade. You got a 82?
This is someone who broke into his college class with a knife days in a row. And low-key, the behavior didn't really change from him student to teacher. If you notice, he was like, when I was in high school, I had girls doing my homework. And then it was like, man, I had TAs doing my homework. Then I had my wife helping me with all this stuff. And it's like the extent that he went to sitting down and learning how to read, there's no way that would have been harder than what he was actually doing day to day for 17 years. There's no way. And then he decided to read after he retired. So it was never about the kids. It was never about the kids. I don't like this guy. I don't like this guy. He needs a new watch.
I just don't.
I'm helping you with these transitions.
I was literally going to set it up. I was like, how do you just not even apply the time? Speaking of time,
this guy needs a watch.
You guys should check out Ventura, okay? Right now, they are offering 15% off site-wide on all products.
Okay.
And free shipping on all products. Listen, guys.
Let's go.
Don't wait till the last minute. All right, y'all know the holidays are coming up, all right? Black Friday is tomorrow, all right? Let's keep it all the way above. Get on this now, because the last thing you want to do is wait till the last minute. I'm like, I'm just going to do online shopping. You got to think about that shipping, man. All right, when everybody's planning on doing the same thing, it's going to push some stuff back. So get on this now, all right? Watches are great gifts for ladies and men. Mm-hmm. A watch should be something that you look forward to wearing every day. Ventura is dedicated to the craft. They put the time and the effort into crafting timepieces so that you can wear them day after day.
Boom.
Ventura creates exceptionally crafted, sustainably made modern watches at an affordable price.
Yes.
Okay? They offer free shipping, 30-day returns, and guarantee your watch for 2 years. This is why they have over 25,000 5-star reviews, because you won't find a better made watch for this good of a price anywhere else.
That's dope.
Anywhere else. Avoid the last minute holiday stress and order your perfect gift online right now. There's no code required. Again, no code required.
It's just
your
Black
discount.
Friday.
Yeah, your discount Friday will be automatically applied at checkout. Everything on the site is on sale. I have to stress that, because a lot of times people are like, yo, we got this on sale. You can get up to such and such off. No, right now, everything on the site is 15% off.
Woo!
There's no discount code required. It's automatically applied to you at the checkout.
I'm getting another watch. So and they got sunglasses, wallets, and bracelets too.
Everything, okay? You find a perfect gift online. Nothing is exempt. No exclusions. This is also including their sunglasses, wallets, and bracelet. There's nothing excluded. All you have to do is use our personal link, venturowatches.com/scary. Okay, one more time. That's venturowatches.com/scary. Again, no discount needed. 15% off. Free shipping. 30-day returns. 2-year guarantee on your watch. Do it now. venturowatches.com/scary.
I gotta double up.
Double up.
I already got a watch, but if they doing the sales,
come on, bro.
Let's get another one. Let's get a weekend
run
piece.
Run it back.
Weekend piece.
Yeah, man.
Oh man, That story is
right?
Terrifying.
First off, shout out to Sylvia because Sylvia sent that to me. Sylvia was
terrifying.
And I was trying to, like, when I was figuring out if I needed an assistant or somebody to post for me or something like that. She was someone that threw their hat in, and it ended up not working out because I got a team working on the thing now. But she still keeps in contact with me. So shout out to Sylvia Calhoun. And she sent that story. She was like, "Hey, I think this will be a great story for you. Let me know what you think."
That is insane.
It was amazing.
I mean, like, sending your child to school is becoming one of the most scariest things because it's like there's already all the violence and the scary stuff in terms of that. But just when it comes down to just the basic education, which you're hoping that they'll get, you mean to tell me there's a chance that your child's teacher can't read or write? He's just getting to me. I'm starting to stumble over myself. Reading white. It's like, oh, God. That says a lot more about the school than anything else. People try to make it seem like it's impressive. Like it's almost like Dexter, how he was a serial killer working for the Miami PD. And I'm like, that says more about the police department. Like, y'all suck.
All of these years has been him.
Y'all suck.
I was watching the first season. I think I got to like the second season. Maybe I'm on like the second episode of the second season. I just was like, all right, you know what? This is kind of wild.
I love that show. But his sister was a police officer. They hung out every day and talked about him. Hey, you catch that killer yet? Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, anyway,
luckily, I have a couple more ridiculous stories. To maybe make you laugh or feel better about your own Thanksgiving, because people be going through it around this time of year.
Yes, yes.
These stories are quick and funny. This one isn't the worst. It's just probably one of the most embarrassing. So this is somebody named Castell W. Who was invited to a friend's house. And she said, I was told I didn't need to make anything, but I decided to make a pan of cheesy potatoes with basic processed Velveeta cheese. That's an interesting dish to bring if they said don't bring anything.
I mean, yeah, it is, but I mean, who doesn't like cheesy potatoes?
It's still very thoughtful, right?
Yeah.
When I arrived, I forgot that her husband was a chef of a high-end Michelin-starred restaurant.
Oh, baby girl.
All the guests were his chef friends. And the spread was gourmet.
Oh, my God.
Here's the worst part. They laughed when they saw my potatoes and said, "We'll give this to the kids." I'm leaving. Give me a plate to go.
Listen, I would have leaned into it. I was like, you know what? I get it. Go ahead and do that. At least somebody's eating. I'm going to get a little bit because I'm a fan of it. But I am looking forward to you guys' food. But yes, please.
I'm throwing it away in front of them.
Well, listen, here's the thing. If she remembered in the car, like on the way there.
Oh, yeah. Don't make it appear.
Why would you even bring it in? But if you remember when you walked in the house, like, yeah, you know, I work at such a time.
Nah, she walked in and smelled. She hit that smell hitter.
Listen, all of them had their hats on.
They all had the little button thing.
Low key though, fun fact, you know the hat that a chef wears?
Mm-hmm.
It's called a toque.
T-O-A-K?
T-O-K-E, I think.
Why? It's called T-O-Q-U-E. Toque.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's called a toque, and it has 100 folds in it.
Whoa. Why?
Each fold represents a way that you can cook an egg. So there are 100 different ways that you could cook an egg. Random fact.
Whoa.
That I just know. And I don't know why.
That's interesting. I did not know. It's called the toque blanche in culinary.
Yeah.
A toque blanche. Okay. 100 folds. I didn't know you could cook eggs that many ways. I thought there was 8. Scrambled, sunny side up, fried.
Poached?
Poached. Boiled. Deviled, is that one of them? That's it. Okay. All right. No, I gotta tell this one second. This story
like
a second.
Deviled. The fuck is wrong with you? Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Calm down, bitch. It's 7 in the morning.
The next story is further proof you cannot eat at everybody's house. This is a story called Uncle Bob. This is from Robin McCutcheon in Oxford, Ohio. She said, I spent my first Thanksgiving with my husband in his Irish-Italian neighborhood in New York City. As a newcomer, I was placed in charge of boiling 15 pounds of potatoes. When they were ready, I picked up the pan and surveyed the crowded kitchen for a sink in which to drain them. My husband's elderly uncle, Bob, guided me to a small half-bathroom and grabbed the steaming pot. He started to drain the potatoes into the toilet, but he lost his grip on the lid, and all the potatoes tumbled in to the toilet. I screamed, oh no, but Uncle Bob began fishing the potatoes out of the toilet. No one will ever know, he whispered. Now just go out there and mash them. Sometime later during the meal, my husband's Aunt Tot leaned over and whispered, your potatoes are delicious. I think you are going to fit into this family quite nicely. So I didn't I didn't even realize in the beginning this was like her audition for this family. Toilet taters. Toilet taters. That's really fucked Yo. Up. Woo.
Oh, my God. Yo.
That's bad.
I wonder when she came clean to her husband about it.
It would have to be like years later to the point where it's like, because if you do it that night, you'll be like, fam, what? But I don't know.
But Uncle Bob told her to do it. She was like, no, we got to throw this away. She's like, no, Bob wouldn't let me do it. It would be all on Bob.
The elderly Uncle Bob? I mean, I don't know. Is an old person saying something enough for you to mash toilet potatoes?
In that type of fact, like, I was on set yesterday, and I'm getting makeup done, and this lady behind me with another makeup artist, and she was showing her pictures of a baby. And she was like, oh, the girl? Like, yeah, yeah. She's just running crazy. She's like, yeah, it's a lot of work. She's like, yeah, you and your husband do a good job. She's like, me and my mom. She's like, why your husband don't help? She was like, he's traditional Armenian. They don't help with that. You know, he grew up seeing his father like that. And
help with what?
The kid. Raising.
Oh, literally raising?
Nothing.
I don't get it.
No changing of the diapers, no feeding, no picking up when the baby's crying. That's all the mom and the mother's mom raising the kid.
I didn't know that.
Very traditional.
Is that just for babies or just even when they're adults? Like, eh.
I think it's just with the baby. It's the mothers tend to all the household stuff. It's what I've been privy to. Okay. Like you know, living among.
There's a couple cultures that's a tradition.
But like super like old school like that. And I don't know how it is in Italian families, but like the old people be having to say so. Like if Uncle Bob say, you leave the motherfuckers, you just go mash some bitches up.
I see what you mean.
Bitches up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's a hierarchy there. Like, and he's an elder. Hey, man.
Her name was also Castell. So there's that. I think Uncle Bob was just a traditionally regular white dude. but who knows?
Of the things, because they said he was chilling with her husband's Italian, Irish.
Oh, family. That's right. Castell was the last story. This is Robin Mick.
Listen,
Cuchin.
Only thing I would have been looking forward to
Irish Italian.
That Irish is drinking, because that's one of the things I am definitely gonna do.
All right.
This Indigenous Day, I'm gonna get a litty. But I'm so excited that I've already ordered my re-up, my DHM.
Same.
Got that 30 pack coming right now.
You got the 30?
I got the 30,
I got
boy.
The 30. I used our discount, too.
I got the 30 back. And right now, they have a special Black Friday sale, 30% off this week only, okay? You've heard us rant and rave and sing the praises high from the mountaintop about DHM, okay? DHM Detox is a godsend for your boy, because like I said, on certain days I get lit and it's a good time. I ain't going nowhere. I'm in the privacy of my own home. I have a great time.
Yeah,
No Days Wasted is here to help you maximize life's moments. DHM Detox is the vitamin for people who like to enjoy their drinks. People like moi. Enjoy your holiday drinks this year and get back to doing what you love to do the next day without feeling awful. Forget the Sunday scaries and that feeling like garbage. Just take two capsules capsules after your first couple drinks, and then it goes to work.
Sunday scaries, I like that.
Tens and thousands of people are using DHM Detox as their drinking buddy. DHM Detox uses science to help boost the body's natural response to alcohol and help break down those toxins. It's a perfect stocking stuffer or gift for your friends, family, and even yourself. Remember, holiday drinking season is upon us. Couldn't be happy about it. So stay prepared for all the festivities so you don't have to struggle through the next day. DHM Detox offers risk-free purchase. So if you don't love it, they'll refund you on your first box. If you haven't tried it yet, now is the time. And like I said, now you can get 30% off your first order and free shipping in the U.S. Just head over to nodayswasted.co. That's .co / DIYS30 and use the promo code DIYS30 at checkout. Again, that's nodayswasted.co. .co / DIYS and use the promo code DIYS30 this week only for 30% off. Okay? 30% off. You guys, do this now. You will not regret it.
It's really one of those things you have to experience to believe, you know? So I know even if you're like, oh, I don't know about that as a gift or something like that. Trust us. It's trust really one of those things you have to experience to believe, because if you give it to somebody and they, like they say, don't have any Sunday scaries the next day after drinking, they will be a believer, much like us.
And because you guys are seeing this on a Thursday right now, this week is almost over. So don't wait. Do that today. Do it right now. Get your 30% off. Don't sleep on this, because I was mad when I ran out and I was going to the cabinet looking for it. I was like, damn, all out of it. Don't be like me. Go grab your some right now. Get 30% off. All right.
Okay. So we have a couple more horror stories. I want to do the wheelchair one. All right. So this is an interesting story because it's called Someone's Aunt Almost Crashed Down the Wheelchair Ramp. It says, we hosted Thanksgiving at my house one year. This is submitted by Sierra A. And our dining room is on the second floor of the house. My aunt was in a wheelchair at the time, and we didn't know what to do since she couldn't get up the stairs, so we built a ramp for her. We went to the store and bought all this wood and ended up really building a solid ramp. When the day came, we realized the staircase ramp was too steep. No test. My aunt was on the heavier side, so it took a lot of effort to push her up because it was so steep. When she was nearly at the top, we lost control and she nearly came crashing down. It was a whole fiasco. Long story short, we got her up the stairs eventually, and now it's just a funny memory. Another horror story, which is something I always say you should never do on Thanksgiving, is experiment with the cooking.
That should be like a rule number. You know what? Fuck it. I'm doing a video next week. 10 things to not do for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Do not experiment and put the whole. Oh, okay. This was in the 80s. Said this is by a girl named Zelda B. In the 1980s, my mother went through an experimental cooking phase. One Thanksgiving, she served a French cassoulet du midi as a side dish. If I heard that's on the menu, I'm probably not gonna come.
I'm not messing with that at all.
The stuff was gray and about the consistency of cement made with some kind of beans.
Well, she made gravy.
What is that? Why would you? Okay. My sister's boyfriend had a large portion, but then later in the meal, he threw up all over the dining room. Not even excuse himself. Blah. And this was the boyfriend. The table, chairs, china, cabinet, and people. It took a couple hours to clean, and the carpet had to be professionally cleaned. Wasn't funny at the time, but we laughed about it and that boyfriend for years afterward. I don't blame the boyfriend. That is 100% Zelda and her mother's fault. You don't serve cement cassoulet du midi for the first time on Thanksgiving. That throw up was an honest review. That was your honest Yelp review.
A couple hours to clean up. You know how much
throw up? It was exorcist, just projectile.
Man, okay. All right.
Here's another thing you could add to your list. Someone forgot to clean the turkey. So this was by Minjon 70.
Y'all out here doing?
He literally had to. He had to say, make sure to take the guts out of the turkey before serving it.
Oh, come on, fam.
We had Thanksgiving at my grandparents' house once, and they served it with all the guts inside. That's That's a lot. This is another reason why you shouldn't get Thanksgiving at anybody's house. This is submitted by Bassarith on Reddit. My grandmother ran out of counter space, so she took out the turkey on the tray, looked around, and put it on the ground for like 3 seconds.
My mama, I push your grandma down.
The turkey.
Oh, mamas, I'm pushing. I'm too angry. Man, what the fuck wrong with you, Jezebel?
Now, she also has a dog, Roscoe.
Oh, come on.
Who had been following her all day. Earlier, she tossed him a turkey giblet, and I guess that didn't sit well with him. He defecated all over my grandma's leg, the floor, and, yep, the freshly cooked turkey in one explosive 2-second blast of fiery diarrhea.
Wait, so grandma set it down for 3 seconds. 1 second into it, the dog shit it for 2 seconds.
That is, he was in and out.
He was like, here's my chair.
He was a thief. And that was like some Gone in 60 Seconds type shit. And, well, 3 seconds. But what the crazy thing is that he got the turkey giblet, got sick, and was like, I'm gonna get this bitch. Put it down, bop, 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 three. He got a three kill. And it said they all crammed into a car and went to the only Mexican restaurant in town. I wouldn't let the grandma go. I feel like it's only right.
She need to eat that chicken, that
she
turkey.
She need to eat that shitty turkey.
You like that dog. I ain't been following you all. You and that dog will eat that turkey together. You don't know how to act. It's in the goddamn turkey. There's so many other places you could have set on top of the refrigerator. You could have put it out of the oven. Ovens have trays.
So many other places.
You could have set it on the oven door while you pulled it out.
So many other places.
Ooh, Eartha? Oh, I just gave her an old
I
ass
feel
name.
Like that's probably not too far off. That's the funny part. Couple more. There is a turkey explosion, I guess. This is by on Reddit. It said, my Thanksgiving horror story only involving my brand new BRZ and about a half gallon of raw turkey juice. Now, turkey juice smells terrible, and when it ruins a car, that car is damn near done. You just got to drive it off a cliff. they bought a 2017 BRZ, which was their dream car. Last night, the wife and I decided to go do some last-minute shopping for Thanksgiving. Stupidly, I decided to take my car. One item we brought was the pre-brined turkeys from Trader Joe's. It was basically a big raw turkey floating in a bag with about a half gallon of briny, salty turkey juice. I don't know why you would pack into your brand new car, but okay. So we get home, and I go to get the grocery bags, and I noticed with some shock that there was a fluid all over the trunk. At first, I thought it was a bottle of carbonated water, which had spilled. No big deal. Then with horror and a rising sense of panic, I realized that the turkey bag had ruptured, and the trunk of the car was covered in about a half gallon of smelly, sticky turkey juice. He grabbed the shop vac and tried to vacuum as much fluid up and several rolls of paper towels, then wiped down all the surfaces for about 20 minutes and repeated this about 20 times. Unfortunately, all the stores had been closed for Thanksgiving, and he had to just do what he could. So he spread baking soda and vacuumed that up a few times. So that was that pretty much ruined the car, and the odor did not go anywhere. I first of all, I don't agree to buying a bag with a floating turkey in it. That's weird. I feel like that should be done at the house. I don't know who did this, Brian, but
so he took bought that your out. Car.
He what?
He bought your car.
What?
This is the BRZ.
Oh, yeah, I got the FRS. Yeah. But, yeah. That's like, it's basically the same build. Yeah. And, he fucked it up.
I was like, what is this car? That's his dream car. And I was like, oh.
He had the BRZ. I almost got the BRZ. All right, last one is probably my favorite. This is a family that had a Thanksgiving curse that went 6 years strong. This is by J-Doc. One, some numbers. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. He said, my family can't have Thanksgiving dinner because every time we do, something bad happens. In year one, my mom dropped a frozen turkey on her finger and had to have surgery. That is the most Thanksgiving-specific accident ever.
How did she drop?
She dropped a frozen turkey on her finger and probably broke it or sprained it.
Right, but I'm thinking, you know what? I'm thinking she dropped it from the other hand. It could have just...
like this? Yeah, yeah, I don't get it.
Why would she
you
do
need
that?
To,
yeah.
You need two hands. But year two, the rolls started a fire and almost burned the house down. I don't... Who's burning rolls? Year three, a neighbor backs into my parked car and totals it. I think that was just a hit. Year four, to prepare for emergency dental surgery scheduled for the Monday after Thanksgiving, I had to take antibiotics. I woke up on Thanksgiving and threw up all over the living room carpet at my mom's house. Year five, my grandma, who spent every Thanksgiving that I can remember with us, dies. That was just the rolls catching on fire, neighbor hit my car, my grandmother dies on Thanksgiving. And then this year, my mom had to have an emergency surgery last Friday, so instead of having Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, we are having it Wednesday night. That was not that crazy, but I hope she's okay. I thought this was, I saw the rolls on fire. I thought the rest were going to be funnier. That was just an actual really bad curse for Thanksgiving.
His mama need to be under supervision. Every couple years, she doing something ridiculous, man. Right? His mama need to be watched, man. She out here wilding out.
Mm-hmm.
She probably put the rolls in the oven.
It's crazy. I even read one that somebody opened their turkey on the day of, and the shit still had feathers on it.
Oh, come on. Jesus Christ.
Read you some Thanksgiving fails. They're actually pretty cool, and it's going to make your Thanksgiving better because it's like, I mean.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. A turkey could have exploded in my brand new car. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Hope you have a fantastic day. Actually, happy Indigenous Day.
Right.
Okay, happy Indigenous Day to all you guys out there. I hope you are spending it with friends and family and loved ones, and you are full and you're married. And if you got you some DHM, you're sitting on something right. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I meant to hear more.
I am Patrick Cloud. Thank you.
And we will see you next week on another episode of Damn, Internet. You scared.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Indigenous Day.
Indigenous Day.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.